victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, there's victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise the Lord. How many of you are glad there's victory in Jesus tonight? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Where in the world would you rather be than right here? Nowhere. This is the place to be. Isn't it good to be a Christian tonight? You love the Lord with all your heart. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Give him a real good hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart tonight. Give me a verse, buddy. Praise the Lord. Let's sing just a little bit more of that.
I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory.
Yes, Lord.
How he gave his life on Calvary.
Oh, to save a wretch like me.
I heard about his groaning.
Oh, yes, he did.
Of his precious blood atoning.
Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood.
He loved me ere I knew him.
Thank you, Lord.
All my love is to him.
Will he plunge me to the victory beneath the cleansing blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, we're glad to be in the house of God tonight. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on a Wednesday night. What a privilege it is. Oh, there's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you don't care to stand with me just for a minute, we'll look at some prayer requests. Brother Wade, if you'd get ready tonight, Brother Wade Olive, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord. Brother Robert Marrero had sent some messages that he had some prayer requests that he would like for this assembly to pray over. A brother, I believe maybe in his church, also his mother, been having some very bad health issues, so we want to pray for them. Just pray for that group tonight in New York, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Brother Terry Horn says that Sister Barbara Gravely called today, requested prayer for her son, Jim Watson. He had a stroke, and his hand is paralyzed. He drives a truck and really needs prayer. Also pray for Sister Barbara, Brother Bert. They got many health issues. They're desirous to be in the house of the Lord. So we just remember them tonight as we pray that God would be mindful of them. Please pray for Sister Angel Smith. She has shingles, so we certainly want to remember her tonight as we pray. Pray for Sister Judy Dyer, dizzy with a stomach pain. Let's remember her tonight. Brother Keith Phillips says, I am scheduled tomorrow at 12:30 to get the stents out. It's just a minor surgery. Pray that all goes well. You can't keep that guy down. We appreciate Brother Keith, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Want to pray for Sister Linda Jablonski, very sick. A lot of pain tonight, so let's remember her. Want to pray for Sister Donna Pistole. She has a very bad abscess tooth, very strong antibiotics, and in a lot of pain. So let's remember her tonight as we pray. Please remember a friend of ours in prayer, James Watson. That's the same request for Sister Barbara Gravely's son. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Brother Jerry Glenn says, my stepson Phil Hollis passed away unexpectedly of a massive heart attack. We will be traveling to Alabama on Friday for a memorial service. We appreciate the prayers of all the saints for that family and for traveling mercies. May the Lord bless all of you. So we appreciate those folks as well. All the unspoken prayer requests, I know there's a lot of needs tonight among us. We just commit them all unto the Lord. He's got it all in control, don't he? Somebody say, I believe it with all my heart. He has never been surprised. He knows everything. He is an all-knowing the Lord. Amen. Brother Wade, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer. Certainly appreciate Brother Wade Alden, don't we? Sister Anna, God bless you, my brother. Appreciate you, sir.
Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of mercy and grace tonight. We thank you and praise you for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord God. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for everything that you're doing for us. We thank you for everything that you will do, Lord God. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord God. You never change, Father, and we thank you for that. And Father, these prayer requests that I'm holding, Lord God, we know that you're more than able to answer each and every one according to your will and purpose for their lives, Lord God. We pray for Brother Keith, Lord God, that you'll be with him tomorrow, Lord Jesus. And for Brother Jerry, Lord God, and this loss of a loved one, Lord Jesus, we pray you'll be with them, Lord God, and comfort them, Lord Jesus. And we continue to pray for Sister Carol and Brother Donnie, Lord God, as the loss of their, Lord Jesus, to be with them, and comfort the family, Lord God, and them children that need to be comforted too, Lord Jesus. We love you. We appreciate you, Lord God. We pray, Father God, for the speaker tonight, Lord God, that you anoint him afresh, anoint our ears to hear what you have to say to us, Father God. Take us a step higher in your glory, Lord God, that you'll lead us on to the rapture, Lord God. We know that it's right before us, Lord God. We just want to keep on pressing towards the mark of the high calling, Lord Jesus. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for everything that you are, Lord God. And we thank you that you're no respecter of persons, Lord God. You love each and every one of us, Lord God. And we thank you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Wade. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. And just to reiterate what Brother Wade prayed there, certainly want to continue to pray for Sister Carol and Sister Sharon's family there in Kentucky, that the Lord would just comfort their hearts, be with them. Brother Donnie was just sharing some things with me about the service yesterday. Just amazing things took place. And we appreciate what God will get glory out of every situation, won't he? Every situation, he will be the one that's glorified. And that's the way it ought to be, right? Amen. Ushers, come tonight, if you will, receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks. Can we say it together? God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand if you will tonight. Praise the Lord. Let me make a couple of announcements real quickly. There was a brother, Fraser Kahn, who streams our services in New York. He called a request that we announce that today is his 35th wedding anniversary to his lovely wife, Babita. He has known her since she was 12 years old and is very happy that God blessed him with such a wonderful bride. Give those folks a nice hand tonight, if you will. Now, Brother Michael Bailey wants you to know tonight that the Christmas shoe boxes will be given out tonight after service over in the fellowship hall. So don't forget to go by, get your Christmas shoe box. They'll be giving those out tonight. And also, Sunday school classes will resume this coming Sunday. So praise the Lord for that. Well, are you glad to be a Christian? Yeah. Would you rather be a Christian than anything else in this world? I would, wouldn't you? Yeah. Amen. Let's sing a song tonight, if you will. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many of you know His name is to be blessed forevermore? We come into His sanctuary with thanksgiving and praise in our heart. We come into His sanctuary with worship on our mind. I pray that our sacrifices will be acceptable on His altar tonight. Do you want your sacrifice to be accepted? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Give Him another hand clap of praise if you love Him, if you will. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's see if we can sing that tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sing it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Play the song, brothers.
The righteous run into.
Jesus is the name of the Lord, the Most High. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord, the Most High.
Name than Jesus. Can you do that? No greater name than Jesus. One you do, one you lead us in. See if we can sing that tonight.
What a beautiful name.
Yes, yes, that's what I meant. I didn't say what I meant, but He knows what I meant. Amen.
You were the Word in the beginning.
Oh, let's sing about it now.
One with God,
the Lord Most High.
Your hidden glory in creation, and now revealed in You
our Christ. What a wonderful name it is. What a beautiful name it is.
Jesus, my King. What a beautiful name He is.
Oh, sing it.
Nothing compares to this.
Sing it to Him.
What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. He didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus,
You brought heaven down.
My sin was great, Your love was greater. My King, what a beautiful name it is.
Thank You, Lord.
Nothing compares.
Oh, thank
to
You for
this.
That beautiful name, Lord.
What a beautiful name.
Hallelujah.
It is.
Oh, name, raise your hands to Him, church.
Jesus.
Raise Him a little bit.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful
glory.
Name.
Do that for me real quick, brother.
Death could not hold You. The veil tore before
You.
You silenced the voice.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Of sin and
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord.
Glory.
Praise
of Your glory. we just lift our hands to Him. Go ahead and give Him a good hand clap of praise. Amen. Now let's just lift our old hands to Him. Ask Him to accept our sacrifice tonight. We're sacrificing praise unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Give me that verse one more time, Brother Harry. Death was swallowed up in victory. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Death couldn't hold Him. Death had to let Him go. Praise God. It's going to let us all go one of these days. Sing it, buddy.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you.
Thank you, Lord.
You silenced the voice.
Yes, you did.
Of sin.
Yes, you
and
did, Lord.
The heavens are open.
Oh, yes, they are.
The praise of your glory.
Thank you, Lord.
For you are raised to life again.
Sing us all.
What name it is.
Oh, what a powerful name
it is.
Thank you, Father.
The name of Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Christ, my King.
Good hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Praise the Lord. 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 Amen. God bless you tonight. You've had you standing a long time. You can be seated tonight. Brother Brandon has a song for us. If you get ready, Brother Brandon, if you'd sing tonight for us, ever how you have it worked out. I don't know, but maybe Brother Caleb's going to help him. Somebody's going to help him. Give him a nice hand tonight as they sing for you at this time.
My faithful Father enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no end, it overwhelms me. Covers my sin each time I come into your presence. I stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love still a mystery each day. I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes. patient Savior. You make me whole. You are the author and the healer of my soul. What can I give you, Lord? What can I say? I know there's no way to repay you, only to offer you my praise. 'Cause your grace still amazes me, your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me. It's deeper, it's wider, stronger, it's higher, it's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, it's higher than anything my eyes can see. Oh, fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
The Lord. Isn't it amazing? Thank God for grace. God bless you. Let's turn together tonight, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Certainly good for us to be together again in the house of the Lord. Appreciate each of you. Certainly appreciate you praying for Carol, myself, and the passing of Sister Sharon, her sister. Thank you for praying for Brother Arlie and the children. All those that are still dealing with that, certainly appreciate you continue to remember them before the Lord. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Let's look again tonight at the church.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're part of it?
Amen.
Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed. Brother Donnie, you're stuck. No, I want it to be stuck in you. To feed. This is what God called men supposed to do. Feed the church of God, which is not the Cleveland Assembly or the Anderson Assembly. This is before the organized. This is the original. To feed the church of God. This is why it means so much to him now. Which he hath purchased with his own blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first prophets, second prophets, third prophets, fourth prophets, fifth prophets, sixth prophets, seventh. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the Message version of that scripture. God hath set some in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. God put that in the church. Well, if that's where God put it in, can anybody show me where He took it out? Verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Amen. So I ask you, just based upon these scriptures, do you think the church is important to God? Amen. He purchased it. He put gifts in it, governments, healings, miracles. And He identifies Himself as actually being the head of that church. I'll tell you one thing, that sounds pretty important to me. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your precious word tonight, Father. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, that we have felt the call, the pull, to be a part of what You identified as Your ecclesia, Your church. That mystical body on the earth that is baptized by the Holy Ghost into Your great plan. Father, we know Satan has so many by that same title, and he's always an impersonator. They've had all kinds of man-made titles, and then they call it Baptist Church, Methodist Church, Church of Christ Church. That doesn't take away from what You called Yours in the beginning. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, that You still have Your church. She is alive and well. Bless us tonight as we look into Your word, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now let us take a tour again of the New Testament. We will start tonight in the book of Romans. And we want to look and see how God identified again the two words that He calls the church. Now the bride in the New Testament is used more in symbols than it is actually the term the bride. John identifies the bride, of course, and then a couple of other places Paul likens it to a husband and wife. But for the most part in the New Testament it is called actually the church. But this is before the World Council of Churches, of course. This is before Nicaea, and this is actually before the age of the first church age. The first church age, as you remember, actually started in 53 AD. So whenever the apostles are writing of the history of the church, which the first book about 59-60 AD, book of James, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you know that actually Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when John began to write the epistle John, you know where John was when he wrote that? On the Isle of Patmos. It's 60 years after the book of John. You'd think it was just writing it from yesterday. You'd think, how in the world would a man recall that? Because the Holy Ghost brought it back to his memory. So on the Isle of Patmos, when John is writing, it's whenever he writes the epistle of John. So even though now the first church age started around 53 AD, they still are calling this mystical body of the Lord Jesus the church. They did not feel the way you and I do today whenever a preacher will call us the church, and it kind of bothers us a little bit because, well, we got so many out here that's called by that same thing. But don't let that bother you because you're the original. Let us read, if you would now, in the book of Romans. I want you to notice in Romans 16:3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now listen what great identification that saints of God had in the first century. You know what their identification was? It was not that they were rich, that they were famous, that they were known by the governor and the mayor and the emperor and all of that. They were identified by how much they risked their life to help the men of God and what their identity was with the church. To me, that's a very great identity to have. Now, I know that as we've gone down in time that many people count it more of an honor to be identified with a politician or more identified when a quarterback on a football team or a shortstop on a ball team. My, if they had some guy from the Cincinnati Reds, they had his signature. They were, you talking about feeling puffed up. Oh, my goodness. If they was to have a, you know, something, a football signed by some famous quarterback, they'd want all their buddies to know about it. But do you realize your highest honor in heaven is to do something for the elect of God? Amen. By giving a disciple a drink of water, you will in no wise lose your reward. I don't care how many ball gloves you've got signed by whoever more. How many footballs you've got signed by the greatest quarterbacks that ever lived. That will have nothing, no account at all in heaven. Oh my, but what we do for the body of Jesus Christ has eternal merit and eternal reward. My, it ought to make us more desirous to do things for the people of God. Now, notice that Paul identifies Priscilla and Aquila, which were a husband and wife team, that they had actually, for my life, he said, laid down their own necks. He doesn't go into great detail in many of these things to tell us exactly what they had done. He just simply mentions it rather that they had done something, but it must have been something quite risky. It must have been something in the threat of the legal aspect of the law. We don't know exactly what it was. Maybe he didn't want to mention it at the time because the current government that was in charge was still in Rome. But he says also the churches of the Gentiles. So this man and his wife had not only ministered to the servants of God, but they had took upon them some sort of identification in ministry unto the Gentiles themselves. Notice again in Romans chapter 16 verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Now the group now was so small. Remember now, this is before Claudius has banned all the Jews. Of course, he banned that the Jews would be driven out. And then actually Aquila and Priscilla, they go back. So this is in between one of those times to where that the Roman letter is actually addressed to the Roman Christians because all the Jews were commanded to be gone. Now, whenever they return, it's when they find this original church in Rome had now been polluted. So they had set up statues. They started praying and interceding to Mary and this and that and the other. And it was during this time because the Jews had been given the original understanding of the Godhead and of many of the great mysteries of God. And Satan used this opportunity when the apostolic fathers were gone. Of course, Paul had already been killed by now. Peter had been killed. James had been beheaded. Many of the original founding fathers had been gone. So the Jews, which were banned out of there, which were also part of the original faith, whenever they left, then the Gentiles become so polluted. And Satan moved in. And by the time they come back in, after Claudius had died, then they found what was their original message churches. And they were so off of the word, it was pathetic. Here was the very birth of Catholicism. Now, notice this church at this date, when Paul writes in the book of Romans, the church is still so small in Rome that they are still having church in Aquila and Priscilla's home. So now, in the first century, now keep in mind that a church might have been 10 people, or a church might have been a dozen, or it might have been 20, it might have been 30. Oh my goodness, a big church had been 30, 40 people. And they would have met, we know of course, in the catacombs, they would have met in people's houses, they would have met in theaters, they would have met in different places, because they did not have what we do today on every corner here, especially in the Bible Belt, where you got the first church across this corner, you got the second church is split off of that on the other side, the third on the other side, four corner intersection, you got four churches, one on each corner. Well, it wouldn't have been that way in the first century. There would have been maybe a church in Galatia as far as in a capital, maybe one in Cappadocia, one in Capernaum, maybe one over here, one over there, but yet they were all identified as the church of God. Now, there was not a Perugia church, and there was not a Seven Thunder church, and there certainly wasn't no tape church. No, they all believed in preachers in the original church. And those that returned, their faith been turned back to the original faith in this message, they still believe in preachers. Right. Now, likewise, greet the church that is in their house, and salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Now, I want you to notice now how that the church was what the apostles and the servants of God, what they took note of. It was not now that the church all rallied around Paul, and they had this man with this great, wonderful ministry, and everybody left their churches and come to follow him. No, that's what Hollywood did to us. That's right. Now I want you to see how that many men, even in this message, have followed the pattern of Hollywood, by Hollywood televangelism, to where that once preachers got on radio and television, then the preachers begin to call people out of their churches, and they would begin to pull on their tithes and their offerings and their attendance and so on, to where that they would leave that local body, and the local body no longer mattered anymore, because they were sending their tithes to this televangelist or that one or that one or that one, and a lot of them wouldn't care for you a bit more than nothing. They ain't going to pray for you when you get sick. They're certainly not going to bury you when you die. And then what's the sad thing about it is some of these guys in the message come right around and do exactly the same thing again. So then they want to build a following to where that the churches don't really matter, but it's you rally around this great man and this great gift over here. Well, there's a great one down in Trinidad, and then there's another great one over here in Indiana, and there's another one over here in Mexico, and one over here. That's contrary to the pattern of the scripture. We are identified, and they did not acknowledge this great ministry and that great ministry, and this great brother over here has got a great singing ministry. Now, he don't go to church nowhere. He ain't really faithful to church. And this brother here has got a great acoustic guitar ministry, and boy, he can play them hymns on that guitar. I'm telling you one thing, but he don't go to church himself. Of course, he don't really even have a pastor, and he don't really even believe in church, but yet he's got a great ministry. You've got a ministry that don't believe in church? Sounds like a ministry out of hell to me. Praise the Lord. Look, friend, we have adopted so much. We talk about the world. We talk about the world creeping into our church. And what do we think? We look for mini dresses and bobbed hair and makeup and lipstick. There's more to the world than just the outward appearance. The cosmos, the order of the world, is the very thing that we have to watch for. Human government orchestrated us to be led by this and told where to do this and told how to do that. Can't you see what Satan would love to do right among us? He'd like to put a pope over the top of us and tell the preachers to sit down and quit preaching and listen to say, all right, play this tape on a certain night, and then next Sunday don't have church. I'll tell you one thing, it's going to take more than a pope to stop me from going to church. Amen. I don't know about you, I don't want no pope. I need more of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Notice Galatians chapter 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. There you go. And God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me. Now notice, now here is the prophet of God. He is the main spokesman for the day. That he acknowledges over and over and over again. What? The church. The church. And yet his ministry was many times larger than many of the churches put together. But he knew he would have no ministry if it was not for the churches. But friend, the problem is, and you understand what I'm saying, is that many of these ministers, they get bigger than what they've really got enough character to handle. And you got sometimes singers and musicians and whatever more, and they have a bigger name and they're more popular than the church that they go to. So then that gives them the big head because their name is more important and more profound. So it's the same with preachers. And you got this big name preacher and he's got a big name. And you know, he's bigger than all these bunch of churches put together because there's more people know him. And what have we done again? Hollywood. Well, praise the Lord. I say I'm going to have to preach an amen myself tonight. Notice now, all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. I love the way he says this. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So what did they do? Constantly then the ministry was acknowledging the church. Because to them, the church was the move of God. The move of God was not this great man and that great man and that great man and that great man and then all these little old nobodies and nothings and worthless people rallied around the great man of their choice. No, sir, that's not the way it was. The great thing was the grace of the Lord Jesus in a many-membered body. Notice now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jehovah, I love this, of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Oh my. What did he address? The church. I didn't say, all right, all y'all come over here now. I'm going to be over here. Y'all skip out on Wednesday night and y'all skip out on the weekend. Y'all don't need that little old pastor of yours no how because he's a nobody. Come over here. I'm the big guy. I find that so strange because as I was coming back from Kentucky last night and I was listening to Brother Branham and here he had called out a bunch of people in the prayer line, identification 217-65, and told Aaron, he calls out a bunch of people in the prayer line and he goes right down through a whole row of people and he goes from one to the other, 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 and there must have been 15, 16, I don't know how many there was, and he called them out one after another. Then he's going to have a prayer line. Now he's got over 500 prayer cards that's to be prayed for in that service. Can you imagine? Now he says, I don't want you all to think now because God has given this gift of discernment that your pastor is a nobody. So I want all of you pastors that believe in divine healing, I want you to come up here because you've got just as much authority to pray for the sick as I do. Oh, I thought, yeah, that's exactly right. That's a word prophet. You see, a man who is a prophet always goes back to the word. He don't avoid the word. He don't explain the word away. He goes back to the word. Now, what good would it have done? I'll tell you what it would have done. The same thing it produced in India when Brother Branham was there in 1954. When the Sikhs, the Jains, the Buddhists, all those come to the meeting. And many of them gave their heart to God. But he said, what happened to them? They went right back to where they come from because I had no churches to send them to. Well, why didn't he send them tapes? I mean, if tapes is the answer, you mean to tell me he let all them people go back to Sikhs, Jains, and Buddhists and didn't set up a tape assembly? Preach, Brother Donnie. Praise God.
That's right. Well, I heard him say it again last night on the very same tape. Now, you converts that just got saved in this meeting, he said, I want you to seek out one of these pastors here now. He said, because you will die spiritually, you will dwindle away unless you have a good church that you can go to. So I want you to seek out one of these pastors and let them baptize you in Christian baptism and lead you on to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? He didn't say, now write up to headquarters now, and we'll put you on the mailing list, and then we'll send you so many tapes, and then play this tape on Saturday night, and this tape. Oh, I reckon why Brother Ram didn't say that, because he didn't believe that. Well, praise the Lord. And the Branhams who believe that now don't believe it because Brother Branham believed it. They believe it because they got an evil spirit on them. It ain't the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes right back to this word. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, notice he says, oh my, chapter 7, verse 17, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. I've never found one scripture at all where Paul ever ordained a reader. Of course, they didn't have no tapes in them days, but they did have scrolls and they did have books. And I've never seen one requirement yet of a reader. Thou shalt not stutter, and thou shalt not be long-winded when thou readest. Or thou shalt not be able to do this. You've got to be the husband of one wife. There was no such a thing. That's not the way the church started. Amen. Brother Henry Green used to say years ago, God started his church the way he wanted it, and he's going to end it the way he started it. God started out the way he liked it, and that was full of the Holy Ghost, feeding on the Word of God, with men of God anointed by the Spirit of God, preaching the Word. Amen. He's going to end it just exactly the way he started it. Oh my, notice again now chapter 12 verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles. Now notice this, they believed in prophets in that day. But Jesus didn't start out with 12 prophets. That's it. And you look at the trade of what a prophet does. A prophet goes out, stays by himself, gets the word of the Lord, comes in, delivers the word of the Lord. What if Jesus would have chose 12 prophets that all went to 12 different caves? One went that way, and one went over that way, and one went way back yonder over that way. So what did he start the church out with? Apostles. So an apostle is not like a prophet. He is one that is sent, not to a cave. So he goes out among the people. So God's foundation, look, friend, there is a reason we call this apostolic faith. Amen. A lot of the message folks don't believe in apostolic faith. They do not believe this message is a restoration message. They think this message is something new. Brand new. You make Brother Branham a false prophet if you believe that. Brother Branham didn't come to bring something new. He came to bring us right back to the scripture. Praise be to God. He didn't stand up and say, well, I didn't preach what Paul preached because I got more understanding than Paul said. He said, did Paul group go in? And said, yes. I said, well, mine too, because I preached what he preached. Amen. Amen. Glory. Notice how he said, first, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, of course, this is not all given into one man. I know some men who think they're all that plus. I mean, they're just about everything God needs on the earth. As a matter of fact, they'll probably offer to help Jesus run the millennium if he needs any help. Because they just about think this message can't run without them. But let me tell every one of you that are here and every one of you that will ever listen to this sermon, every one of us are replaceable. As a matter of fact, the reason God established it as a church instead of one particular ministry was this. The church will outlive every preacher. The church outlived Paul. The church outlived Peter. The church outlived James. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. The church outlived Brother Branham. If time tarries, the church will outlive me and you and you. Why? The church lives on. Paul was going to pass. Peter was going to pass. John was going to pass. But the church will never die. So you don't put all of this in one ministry, in one man, and then when that man passes from the scene, the whole thing collapses. You don't put it in one man. You put it in a body. Then when that man dies, somebody else raises up. When that one dies, somebody else raises up. Oh, what would we do about Brother Louis? What would we do without Brother Harry? Well, I don't know. It'd be hard. But if the church rolls on and Brother Harry passes or goes somewhere else, God will have somebody else to play the organ. If I pass, God will have somebody to step right here because the church moves on. Can't you see, friend? This is another reason God does not want us hanging everything we have on one man and his ministry. This is why some people, they have to have Brother Branham to come back. They cannot let go of the very concept of that one man. They cannot do it. Verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all miracle workers. And of course we know that they are not. Notice now in verse chapter 14, verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all bleep, 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 bleep. Brothers, can y'all bleep out that quote? I'm not. We're message people and we don't believe in tongues. So. If y'all use this kind of tongue, one third as much as you use that blabber thing in your mouth would be a lot better off. That's the tongue you shouldn't believe in. Oh, Jesus, you're going to get me killed, Lord. Notice then, Paul said, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Now, this is the reason why. That the church may receive edifying. Now, if every member of Happy Valley would look at the church in this view, I guarantee you, friend, our church would be transformed. Instead of thinking that it's about you or your family or the deacon's family or the pastor's family, it's not about one certain family. It's not about your view. Well, I don't like the music and the heat. I can't stand the air conditioner. Why did they have a black piano? Don't they know I don't like a black piano? You know, people with that mentality, it's as if though they are the church. Instead of understanding it's not just about you. It's not just about me. Oh my, praise the Lord. Notice this now in verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel. Notice the excelling portion in a believer's soul. Notice this. That ye may excel to the edifying of the church. You are actually growing and excelling in God when the way you think, oh my, the way you look at coming to the house of God, even what you do in the body is for the excelling in your mind that it might edify the church. Now, if it's all about you and you being noticed and you being acknowledged and you being made over, you're not growing. Your gift is still centered on bringing you honor and credit. A person excels when they are able to recognize that what they do for the body of God or what they're allowed to do or not do will benefit and edify the body. Listen, friends, you won't have to tell me when I get so old that I can't preach no more. When I realize that I'm that old and my sermons ain't helping nobody no more, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to quit preaching. I'll always have a desire to preach. If I live to be 135, I'd still have a desire, and I'll still be sitting with my computer in my lap, shaking and trembling, studying. Won't nobody want to hear me no more but my grandkids, and they'll just say, "Preach, Poppy," because they feel sorry for me. But each of us should have this desire inside of us that what we do should be for the edifying of who? Not ourselves. Oh my, that you may excel to the edifying of the church. 1 Corinthians 14:13. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, they was having a real problem in the Corinthian church. And part of the problem was that they were so zealous of spiritual gifts, no doubt some of the other churches were as well, but they did not have this problem because among them was this carnal thing of using the gifts. God-given gifts. God-given Holy Ghost gifts. But they were using these gifts in a way that would make the user look big and important. So they'd stand up and just speak in tongues. And more, the Lord give them something. They wanted everybody and their brother to know the Lord told them something another. Praise the Lord. That's carnality, Happy Valley. And part of the other problem was that the women had become free under grace. And the old law, they were not allowed, of course, even to be able to handle the word, read the Torah, the Mishnah. They were not allowed to participate in much of the worship service. Even now at the Wailing Wall of the Jews, they've got a dividing curtain there which separates the men from the women. So the women became so liberated. If you study the history on it, you know that the Corinthian women, they started preaching some. Well, the God's truth is there'd be some in our ranks that would if we'd let them. I'm going in the room and finishing the rest of this. So they started using the gifts, and oh my, it must have been something. Yeah, it must have been something all right. Then brother so-and-so would stand up and boy, he'd speak in tongues, genuine tongues now. This is not a bunch of gibberish, but the anointing coming on him, and maybe a man that was born, let's say he was a Corinthian man. No, he never spoke Hebrew, he was a Gentile. Or he never knew anything about these other languages, and he'd stand up and he'd just speak in Aramaic, and he'd go down through Greek, and he'd talk in Hebrew. My goodness, them saints would say, "Oh Lord, have mercy, how wonderful." And this brother was just speaking and speaking and speaking. Took 10 minutes, then 15 minutes, then 20 minutes. Cutting right in on the preacher's sermon time. But nobody didn't want to say anything to the brother because they didn't want to grieve the Holy Ghost. But yet the Holy Ghost was being grieved because the preacher couldn't come out and preach because brother so-and-so kept taking all the time talking in tongues. But to the Corinthian believers, talking in tongues was more spiritual than the word. Boy, here we go. Woo, woo. Oh, my. it amazing that Paul doesn't address the Galatian church, the Philippian church, the end of the rest of the church, and none of them were addresses. I'm glad that he did this because it's been the pattern for 2,000 years to let us know how. Had it not been for the error that was in the Corinthian church, we would have never known the format by which the Spirit of God wanted us to deal with spiritual gifts. So God takes even those faults and flaws that are in a body, and he'll turn it right around and use it for his own glory. Oh, praise God. So Paul then, notice what he says. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Why is he just standing there talking in tongues and talking in languages? God-given, Holy Ghost-filled channel that's moving on the man. And he's just standing there, talking in tongues. But he don't know what else to say, so he just talks in tongues. Well, then when he gets done, everybody just kind of sits there. Oh, God, help us. You've been in some meetings, you might as well say amen. Where you just sat there and you don't know what to do and you're afraid to think anything bad about it and you're afraid to say anything, so everybody's just sitting there and the devil is laughing his crazy head off. Because he knows there we are. We're stumped because we don't know what to do. Can you imagine the Corinthian church, how many sermons were ruined by people talking in tongues and nobody wanted to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, so-called? Well, Paul said, I wish every one of you would talk in tongues, but not in church at the same time. Now, what was that talking in tongues for? This brother or sister, whoever that had been doing it, no doubt they were so blessed, Brother Jim, and they felt like they could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Any of you that's been blessed by that, you know how that feels. But it's only for you. So what were they doing? They were edifying themselves. They were just talking in tongues and talking in tongues and talking in tongues. But the church was receiving no edification. And God told Paul, tell them to stop it. I do not like that. Was the gift wrong? No, he didn't say the gift was wrong. He didn't say the tongues was wrong. What he was getting at was they was using a precious, wonderful gift from God to edify themselves. And the church was there that all assembled. They'd come together, many of them under great strain and difficulty. And they'd come together and the service was carried away by a brother just basically hijacked the service. By a brother that just stood up and spoke in tongues. And it happened over and over and over again. Well, praise the Lord. Notice now in verse 14, he said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. How many's experienced that? To where you've prayed in tongues? Did you know what you're saying? Not if you're fulfilling this scripture, you didn't. I've prayed in many languages around the world. And what's amazing me is when I go to these different nations and hear some of these people speak their languages, I've said, Lord have mercy. I've prayed in that language before. It's wonderful. I'm telling you. It's absolutely phenomenal, especially for a hillbilly that don't even speak English good. It's wonderful. But what good would that do you tonight? If I got up and start talking in tongues, and there's many times I could do it. But what benefit would it be? It would be me taking the edification that God wants to give me. So what do I do? Instead of me using it for myself, I channel that anointing to minister back to you. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. I love to shout and I love to run and I love to rejoice when I'm preaching, but I don't want to shout all the anointing away where I'm the only one getting blessed and you're the one being robbed. Now, when I was in Pentecost, I don't tell how many blessings I took from other people because I was pretty selfish. So whenever I'd preach, I'd shout, I'd dance, I'd run the backs of the pews. Uh-huh. Not the bottoms, the backs. So I'd start right here and start running right straight through that way. And when I'd come, people knew to part. Or you said, that's easy. You can try it after church and let us know. So I'd run down that side and then take off running back up this side. What did I do? I got tired. What did it benefit? Nothing. I was channeling my anointing. I was a Pentecostal. I was letting it all out at the whistle. But I'm not that kind of Pentecostal anymore. I'm the original Pentecostal. So I don't just let it all out at the whistle. I let it out at the breathing of the words of God. Oh, I still shout a little bit and I still rejoice a little bit. But I've learned how to channel that anointing instead of it just edifying myself, that I can be able to be a benefit to you. Praise the Lord. Now what's in Paul says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Many of you know you've come up here many times for prayer, and God has changed my language to pray for you and begin to pray over you in another language. And the channel of the anointed would move right to that demon. What was he saying? I don't have a clue. And yet for many of you, you know the Lord was discerning your heart by prayer and calling out your very need. And I was totally ignorant to it. And that's perfectly fine. Let him get the glory. I don't need none of it, no way. But what is it? Then we are edifying the body. Oh, praise God. I realize we don't have to preach on tongues much in the message, because most message folks don't even believe in it. So why should the preachers take them up? But we're a Bible-believing church here. I can show you where God put tongues in the church. You show me where God took them out. I'll show you where man took them out. But you ain't going to show me where God did. Brother Donnie, don't tell me you still do that sort of thing like a child. No, I don't do it like a child. I do it like a grown-up adult. Brother Branham said, trying to talk in tongues. I don't try. It comes out of me. Say it like he said it. Verse 18. I thank my God. Bleep, 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 bleepity, bleep, 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 bleep. Oh, how can this man think he's deep? How can this man think he's a prophet of God and a church age messenger? I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than ye all. Now I realize the commentators want to twist that around and say Paul was a very learned man. And Paul could speak many languages. That wasn't what he said. He said glossolalia. A language given to him by the Holy Ghost. Woo! Yet, in I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach other than 10. You mean 5 words with an anointed servant of God, anointed with the divine wisdom of God, would have more value in a service than for a person to stand up and speak 10,000 words in tongues? But you see, folks who would desire personal gratification and personal edification, they would never comprehend this. Five words would be greater than 10,000 in languages or tongues that you never even learn, and it would be greater. The reason it would be greater, not so much it would be greater for you. You might be more blessed personally to say the 10,000 words in tongues. But who would it be greater for? The church. The church. Oh, I would to God preachers could learn this. Oh my, a lot of the vanities that preachers deal with, it just be down the drain. I'm big me and little you. No, it'd be down the drain. A lot of stuff that preachers do. Some preachers preach a long time so they prove that they can do it and still follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Well, come on, saints. Sometimes a real man of God, he'll have all kinds of, no, don't you think I ever get done preaching here? I never do. I've always got way more than what I get done, but I don't follow the page number. I like to follow the inclination of the Holy Ghost and know when I've reached that spot. When a preacher reaches that climax, he's only got so much time in that realm of climax. If you go beyond that, it will go down, and from that point, you're responsible. But some want to prove how well and how orator they are and this and that and the other. What's that got to do? It's only using God's gift for self-edification. I'd rather preach 20 minutes and the Spirit of God say stop. Amen. And be led of the Holy Ghost and to say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I've got all these notes here. I've got all these quotes and all these faith. God, help me. I'll never be like that. Help me that I can follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Who am I preaching for? Me? Who am I preaching for so I can show you how much I know? God forbid. What are we preaching for? Why do we sing? Why do we pray? Why do we do these things in the house of God? That the church might be edified. Woo. Notice in verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, at the most by three. And that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, you mean I'm supposed to hold back? How could this man be a prophet and tell me to hold back? I'm feeling, I'm about to blow up. I got to talk in tongues. But the word says if there's no interpreter, I'm to hold my peace. Hello, saints. Praise be to God. Oh, my. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Now, if you're in your prayer room by yourself or another brother or something like that with you, your wife, your children, have at it. Enjoy it, brother. But in the house of God, in the house of God, but Brother Donnie, it's about to explode. It's about to, but it's not edifying to the body. Well, you say, why would God even give me that then if God don't want me to say it? Maybe it's to try you. To see if you'll put the word first. Oh my. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how much you folks enjoying this, but I am. Sort of. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Friend, you understand my point. What was the point in this first age? The church. It was the church. It was not this man, that woman, this man, that woman. It was the church. So you're talking about something so supernatural and so phenomenal that a person would be able to tap into a realm of the Holy Ghost, the genuine Holy Ghost, and stand there and speak in a language or languages. Maybe go from one language to another, to another, to another, and never have learned a foreign language in their life. And to try to speak that language or write it down or even recall one word of that language, they couldn't do it if you was threatened to kill them. They could not do it because it was spirit given. But if there's no interpreter there, Paul said, hold your peace. Well, I imagine when some of the Corinthian folks got this letter, some of them changed their membership. They left Happy Valley. I mean, they left the Corinthian church where they were saying what Paul said, and they went over where they'd let him be free. Now, don't you know whenever God sends a word like this, Satan pops up a church, which is a counterfeit act, Pharisaic move, which will catch the fallout from those who really don't want to stay with the word, and then they'll run over there and say, well, I'm going to stay here because they let us be free over here. Satan don't know the declaration of God, the ordinance of God, the mind of God. But as God sets forth the ordinance of the day, then Satan will begin to build him a counterfeit on the other side. A place by which those that don't want to go back to the world, those that don't want to forsake God totally, but yet they don't really want to line up to the word all the way. So they'll have another place that they can compromise and go over here now. Well, now over here the women can preach and praise God. Over here the women can cut their hair and boy, we talk in tongues. I'm telling you what, our pastor ain't hard. Now, I used to sit over at Happy Valley years ago, but I got me some more light, really. I'll tell you one day, I used to be there and hear all that old hard preaching, but now, boy, I'm so free. I'm so happy. Man, if I want a beer every now and then, I drink it. You know what? It don't hinder Jesus. Why, the blood is just as powerful. You are a reprobate and probably no mercy for you. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. And let him speak to himself and to God. So it comes there, she says, why? Him taking over the service don't edify God in the church. Isn't it amazing, though, that God would let it fall on people to see what they'll do with it? Can I go on a little bit? Verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Of course, by this time, some churches had started raising up that had things other than saints. It was churches of the saints. Right. Now, he's going to deal with this issue now about the women. And he said, let your women keep silence in the churches. Now, can you imagine a woman preacher ever standing up and trying to take a text from this? For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, of course, Paul gained the title and has held it for 2,000 years that he was a woman hater. Can you imagine anybody with the Holy Ghost saying such a thing? A servant of God anointed to write the Bible and set forth a declaration of how the New Testament church ought to run. Well, praise the Lord. Notice again, 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila, Priscilla, salute you much in the Lord with the church. So it wasn't this great man and this great woman and this great person and this great... It was them and the church. It's not Donnie Reagan. It's Donnie Reagan and Happy Valley. It's not Tim Pruitt apart from Evening Light. Well, come on, I'm going to go a step farther. It's not even Darrell Ward. If Darrell Ward did not have a home church to go to, Darrell Ward would be disqualified from being an evangelist. Is that right, Brother Darrell? Going out preaching to churches and don't even have a home church? Nonsense. Praise the Lord. But you see, friend, what Satan has done is had people to build a ministry apart from the church because they're bigger than the church they go to. Get mad at me if you want to. It's contrary to the Word of God. Oh my. Let me go just a few more minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are at Achaia. Now notice, God again addressing who? The church. 2 Corinthians 8:1. Moreover, brethren, we do to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout the churches. You see, this was the way a first century preacher was identified, by the recommendation of the churches. And if the churches didn't send you out, none of the other churches received you. It's a real shame we've got away from apostolic form. Well, praise the Lord.
Oh my. Notice this. He says, whether, verse 23, whether do any inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper. No, now Paul, nah. What are you doing acting like this little preacher is up there with you? You see, friend, they did not have this Hollywoodism. This is pre-Hollywood. So they didn't have this big thing that we're the big guys. You're down here under our feet. We cracked the whip. And, oh, you Pharaoh, are you? Brother Branham never projected to us that he was the only one to preach. As a matter of fact, he said the opposite. I wish some of these folks who push play would listen to some of the same ones that I hear when I push play. I'm not sure which ones they listen to because, I mean, I hear all these strange, bizarre quotes of Brother Branham saying, did y'all hear the radio broadcast the other day when Brother Neville was preaching? I was standing there helping my wife wash dishes. He said, oh, Junie, it won't hurt you. You can wash them a little too. I was standing there helping my wife wash the dishes. And he said, Brother Neville got on there and he said, he started bringing that word. I told my wife, I am so proud to be identified with such a man. He was such a blessing. He said, Brother Branham got sermon after sermon from Brother Neville, the pastor of Branham Tabernacle. Praise the Lord. He called Brother Neville his chum, Brother Neville his buddy, Brother Neville his associate. Come on, Happy Valley. Why? Because that's the way he looked at him. Amen. Hollywoodism is what's crept right in among us. And it acts like as if those pastors and evangelists who give their lives for the cause of Christ are absolutely necessary. Let me tell you something. You're going to be totally amazed one of these days when men like Brother Jack Benton and Brother Darrell Ward and evangelists that travel this world, when they stand before the Lord Jesus and Jesus stands there and empties his very heart to them and say, I am beholding to no man. I reward you, Darrell, for all the sacrifice you gave. I reward you for all the time you left your wife and your children. I reward you for Brother Benton for all the times you preached the gospel. I reward you. Preachers ain't going to be second class citizens, brother, sister. We have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout the churches. Let me close with this one. Not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us. Lord have mercy. You mean the churches recommended that a certain preacher travel with Paul. Praise be to God. And Paul didn't say, who do you think you are? I'm a prophet of God. You've been watching too much of the Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston might have been a good actor, but he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. Friends, Hollywood is shaping our view of truth. Can you imagine the church is suggesting that this man travel with the prophet of God? The prophet no doubt prayed over it and waited out. He said, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. Why? This man had favor among the churches. You can be so gifted to talk. You might be one of the best talkers that ever was, but if God don't give you favor with people, you will not get off the ground. And God had given this man favor among the churches so much that they asked Paul, why don't you take him with you? Of course, some of our modern preachers, that kind of offends me. I'll have to watch him. People might like him better than they like me. Let's put him out there to clean out the toilets. Well, I'll tell you what you can do. You can put him under the toilet if you want to. But if God's going to raise him up, you ain't got enough power to keep him down. You can humiliate him. You can laugh at him. You can do whatever you want to do. Believe me, I know. I've been there. Let people do what they want to do. But when God sets his heart to do something, nobody is going to stop him. Let's stand together. We'll read verse 23 and we'll pray. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Lord. They are messengers. Now, Brother Branham was the messenger of this age. But God has tonight alive messengers that are messengers to the churches. Not only are they messengers to the churches, but let's read the last phrase. But these God-called preachers are the glory of Christ. Is this a scripture? This is why I tell you, friends, a lot of the folks who claim to believe this message do not believe this Bible. Because these scriptures are contrary to their man-made, hell-sent doctrine. It ain't heaven sent. Apostolic believers can say amen to such. It don't take away from Brother Branham at all. Actually, it makes the work greater. The work is much greater now than when Brother Branham was here. Hang on, I've done made you mad. I might as well go ahead and blow your temper. And it's not been due to tapes that it's expanded. It's been due to many men. Oh, you don't know it. You'll know it one day. You'll know it. They'll walk up from Kenya. They'll walk up from Uganda. Zimbabwe. India. All over this world. And say, thank you for that bicycle you bought me. And you say, I never bought you no bicycle. Yes, you did. Thank you for that motorcycle that you bought me. I don't even know you. I never bought you no motorcycle. And hundreds more. And thousands more. And tens of thousands that walk up before you and say, thank you for putting a roof over our head so we could have a church to worship him. And you'll say, I know, I never know. Yes, you did. You think all that's going to my account? You think I'm the one that's going to get credit for all of that? Swahili believers years ago received their first seal book at the cost of $10 apiece because you made it possible. There's a brother there, after they started getting their books, Brother Jim, you remember reading the letters. And the brother sent me an email. He said, Brother Donnie, I thought for years and years, maybe the Lord thought lesser of us believers over here than he did you all. And I wondered why we couldn't get the word. But he said, since we've been getting the books in our language, our churches have exploded. The saints have a walk with God they've never had before. Can you imagine being a Christian, a preacher, and never having a seal book?
Think about it. Amen. Wonderful.
Every one of them that was sent, Jesus made a record. And your names
was tallied across the top. Why? We did it to the church. Oh, we could have sent that same money down to Jimmy Swaggart. Why in the world I want to do that? We could have sent that same money out to the Smiley preacher and made him maybe bought another jet and done this and that and the other with it. Why in the world would I want to do that when we got God's hungry children all over the world? Oh, we were opposed. Yes, we were opposed. We were called everything in the world you can imagine and some things you don't want to imagine. But the Lord God spoke to me and told me to do it. That's why I stand against all opposition. Because I hear him say, when you do it to the least of these, my brothers. Yeah. And as I stood in Tanzania just a few years ago, Brother Terry's been there, and see some of those men that are now preaching this message that were men that didn't even have on a loincloth, that before their conversion, they walked this earth naked. And they didn't have a house to live in. They dug out holes in the ground and lived in them. But God moved on into some evangelist heart and sent them out on two little wheels that you helped purchase to go preach to some of them men which were headhunters. Praise God. And then people in this message laugh at men like that. God have mercy on them is all I say. If there's any mercy that can be given. Who are men like that? Brother Terry, Lord have mercy. I can't stand. I can't hardly wait to stand there and watch them. Some of them little men as they come up. And the Lord Jesus go to give them. Lord God. Praise be to God. What is it? The church. It ain't just Happy Valley. It ain't just evening light in Phoenix. It ain't just evening light in Minden. It's all over the world. He's got a body. Amen. The church of the living God. Amen. I'm just so glad we can be a little part of it. Aren't you? Praise God. Bow our heads together, if you would. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you say, with me tonight, Brother Donnie, I want to be more conscious of what you've talked about. I want to be more conscious of what I do and what I say and the way I live, that it edifies the church. Not just me. Not just me. My opinion and what I think and help me to think more. Help me to excel. That I can think more to the edification of the body. Lord Jesus, thank you for these things tonight, Lord. We've not shouted. We've not jumped around, Lord. But these are the types of service that make us shout. We may not shout tonight, but once we're able to grasp what eternal life is, living for others. That's just a good quote to many people. I don't want it to be something I quote, Lord. I want it to be an everyday thing in my life. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Father, help me that I'll always keep this before me. When I preach services, when I preach a funeral, when I deal with a wedding, when I go to hospitals, whatever I do, Lord, in service to your people, may it always be that it's for the edification. That it's never self-glory or never that I can be raised up somehow, made to look better once this deed is done or accomplished. Lord, may every person here who sings, may every musician, every minister, deacons, trustees, all the folks that work in the library and the sound booth,
the audio booths, the Sunday school teachers, all of us, and every lay member, Lord. Make it so real to our hearts. May this be something we contemplate on and think about. That really, if we're a special singer or a musician, that we should not have to be catered to. We should not have to be babied over or whatever more. Because if we're not get to play that often in church, and then we get offended. And I don't get to play the drums, but one every now and then, or play the guitar once, just every 2 or 3 months, I'm offended. But Lord, help us to realize if we're a spare guitar player or a spare drummer, whatever we are, and we can serve the body during that one service every 2 or 3 months, and it makes that service a little better, we have done a great thing. It may not gratify our flesh, and we may not be up there as much as we think we ought to be, and that's because we're still thinking in the carnal way. Lord Jesus, help every one of us, preachers included. Father, if we can think of the edification of the body. Oh, Lord Jesus, that's what you thought. You had one goal before you. The goal that was set before you was not the reward you was going to get. Praise God. It was us. It was us. You bore our shame. You bore our sin. You became the serpent on the pole for the edification of the church. Help us, Lord God, I pray. We worship you tonight, Jesus. May this word go deep into each of our hearts. May it change us, Lord. Help us to understand. Carol and I was talking about it coming to church, about this series on the little foxes and unsurrendered life. And I told her, I said, well, the thing of it is, Carol, we're constantly surrendering. We surrender a tradition once God quickens a portion of truths. And we see that we've got a tradition. We surrender a feeling. We surrender this or that or the other. We're constantly learning to surrender our lives. Father, I believe tonight is another portion of that. That we'll surrender what we might want to do and what might be for our personal edification. For the benefit of the body. It's what we want, Lord. Praise God. Lord, I've seen it so many times in funerals. Maybe one family member goes to one church and another family member goes to another church, and they want their church to have half the singing and they want their preacher to have half the preaching. And oh, Lord, it becomes so difficult. I've learned many, many years ago to take the low road and to tell them, look, I will minimize what I say. I will absolutely minimize it. Let them have more time. Just get through this difficult time. Because me saying less is actually me doing more. So what if I would get up there, bless God, you took 30 minutes. I'm taking 30 minutes. I'm as good as you are. God, forgive us for such an attitude. Help us, Lord, to understand that edification to the body sometimes means we do way less than our abilities allow. But it's what's beneficial to the body. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the service tonight, Lord. Go with us now, Father. Bring us back at the appointed time. We love you. Thank you for your correction tonight, Lord Jesus. We receive it. And the church said,
amen.
How many receives the rod of the Lord?
Amen.
Come on, raise them hurting hands. That hurting back. Amen. Praise God. Don't you thank God for a church where you can hear the truth preached?
Yes.
Even though it cuts in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for men of God. I so appreciate Brother Darrell taking the service for me Sunday after Sharon had passed. And Brother Darrell had offered to take the service. I hate to even ask him to do it because I knew he was in touch pain, but yet I wanted to try to be down with Carol and the family if I could, so I left early Sunday morning. Brother Darrell was so gracious to put himself in a bind. I know it did. But he told me back in the office before church, since he's done that Sunday, I think some of the brothers also prayed for him, Monday, Tuesday, today, His pain situation is totally turned around. God is just so moved for him. Amen. Hallelujah. He told me he felt like because he sacrificed. God honors that, friends. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. You got a need in your body tonight, a need in your life. Let's just raise your hands. Oh my, praise God. From that one prayer, I felt him sweep in here. Glory be to God. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray right now for your children. Lord, some of them sick. Some of them with pain, maybe in their bodies, Lord. Different things going on in their homes or their lives. Not only the visible, but the invisible audience. Lord Jesus, may your healing virtue, your strength, your courage, may you go to each of your believing children tonight. We believe, Father, that you are mindful. We know that you are the high priest which can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Lord God, may you minister to your body tonight, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And by faith, we receive it right now. In Jesus' name, and call it done in our bodies. Call it done in our homes, done in our marriages, done in the lives of our children. Whatever the request was, Lord, we accept it and we give you praise for it. Amen. Praise be to God. Let's sing a little something before we go. Don't you love him with all your heart? Amen. Oh, I'm so glad to be a part of the church tonight. Sing something for us, Harry. Let's just worship together. God bless you, saints. I love you with all my heart before the Lord. Amen.
I'm one of them.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad I can say. That will cleanse your heart from sin. That will start the joy bells ringing and will keep your soul aflame.